All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is January the 6th, 2023. Six official days into the new year, and everything seems to be going pretty good. Smooth. Visually, not a beautiful day here on the East Coast today. Very overcast and gray. But I find it to be quite beautiful. It's very still this morning. We have had some crazy weather. I know there's, you know, crazier weather going on, but for here it's been pretty crazy. Just the temperatures. Definitely had a lot of that, like a very cold spell during Christmas. That week, maybe a few days, maybe three or four, it was pretty cold. But man, and then it just sort of warmed up and it's been like nice. I was telling somebody yesterday, I go, what if this whole global warming or whatever turns Delaware into the new San Diego, that would be pretty funny. I doubt that's happening, but it definitely has been warm. And it's been nice. Been getting to do a couple runs, enjoying the weather, but it feels a little bizarre because December usually for me is one of the colder months of winter. Maybe not one of the most boring months, more like February, March for me, but December is definitely cold, and it has not been that way up to this point, so hopefully it'll get back on track, you know, whatever. So I bought a As Bill Sees It, and I wanted to read it, you know, I thought I would maybe check it out. It's weird, though. As Bill Sees It, I forgot. It's just numbered, right? There's no, like, daily reflections. There's a daily reflections for every date, but not As Bill Sees It. These are just the AA Way of Life selected writings of AA's co-founder. Would it be disrespectful to comment on his writing? I don't know. But I know there's some meetings about As Bill Sees It, so we'll see. But I thought today, you know, coming out of Christmas, coming into the new year, always trying to, I definitely try not to. I think I do it a little bit. Try to see what I can do different about this year. How was last year? Trying to reflect and see. You know, last year was an interesting year for me because I was just starting. There was a big probably half of the year where I wasn't doing a lot of meetings, wasn't doing a lot of socializing, and actually my timeline might be a little skewed. I may be, I can't remember when we stopped taking off the mask and stuff, or started taking off the mask, but the point is there was a big portion of it where, you know, I wasn't doing a lot of meetings, more isolation. That's the one thing that I felt during this whole the pandemic thing was really the isolation and how much I enjoyed it. And how much we still sort of are holding on to that a little bit. Not doing a lot of social stuff. Brand new house. Haven't, you know, we definitely had some people over for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And when I say some people, I mean our family. Had a couple people come by our house. But really, in my mind, I had this whole idea that it was going to have people over and drop in and, you know, socializing at the house, at the new house. Haven't really done that at all. And I feel I'm sort of like, and my wife and our, I think we're both doing the same thing. We're just sort of isolating still. And I really wanted to do a Christmas party prior to, obviously, Christmas with maybe some of the people that I do podcasting with and some people that I work with, but just never made it happen, right? I just started, when I'd get into the planning, I'd be like, oh, do I really want to do this? And I feel like I've sort of created some new habits during, you know, the last few years, which I didn't really have. And one of them being sort of isolating and separating myself from other things and finding more reasons not to than reasons to do. And that's not a great spot. I mean, I'm not going to drink over it, but it is, you know, I recognize it, you know, I recognize that today. I want to be more willing to take on a challenge. Not to be consumed in personal fear for some reason, projected fear. the projected fear that I was having is, what will we talk about, right? What are we going to, what is this, you know, you get everybody together, they come to your house, and then what, right? And that's part of the challenge, I think, for being sober. You know, alcohol was always great at sort of, you know, bridging those two situations. You know, you have the situation of just random people, or not random, but, you know, your friends coming over and then trying to get them happy. And usually it requires conversation, and alcohol in the past has always been great to, you know, loosen everybody up and get the conversation started. But when you are sober, and the other thing is that having people over when you're sober, they're like, oh, I don't need to drink, right? They're always trying to be super respectful. And you're like, you can drink, it's fine. Drink. It doesn't bother me. You can drink. But they're, of course, no, I'm just going to have water. Well, it's already kind of gotten dull, right? So I went through a lot of these weird situations in my head, and in the end just didn't do shit, and which was perfectly fine. But that's not what I want to be, right? That's not why I got sober. I want to be, I like to have people over. I like to do things with other people. I like to socialize. I guess maybe as we get older, it isn't as important as it used to be, maybe. So funny. I've known about that song for many years, and I always associated ball and chain with like a wife or a husband or somebody that just, you know, that's always been the, what reminds me of that, the old ball and chain, or the, and listening to that song, it's really talking about really the struggle with addiction, right? The booze or the drugs and that anchor, and, you know, it's, raising kids like we're doing, so a lot of the things that I learned in this program or have learned from this program, I try to give examples to my kids of why they should try to do certain things or not do certain things. I don't know if I even said that correctly, but the point is that, like, you know, carrying around these anchors, right? You know, carrying around these ball and chain. And you know, one of the things my middle son, and we were laughing about it this morning, my ex-wife and I, because, you know, we get emails. I got an email yesterday saying, you know, Sam's, he's doing this, and he hasn't turned this in, and he did half of this, and he just needs to come do the other half. And if he just comes and finds me on Thursdays and Tuesdays during, you know, whatever it is, I will sit down and help him get these things done. And I was laughing. I'm like, when I was a fucking kid, they didn't do any of that shit. You didn't do your work, you got an F, right? You got bad grades, and you know, not passing was literally a real thing. I mean, I was so tormented. I was carrying around so many anchors as a child not realizing it, right? And looking back now as an adult, I can see, you know, how all that shit was working. But at the time, I didn't realize it. But today I see it. But today, you know, these kids, they just have so many opportunities to be successful. And I, you know, as a person that grew up a while back, you know, I'm of course like, oh, you know, it was much tougher. Maybe we're smarter now, because I can tell you there, you know, I got myself into a situation in eighth and ninth grade where I procrastinated, didn't complete, didn't pay attention. Nobody reached out to my parents. And then I just carried that shit through the school year, knowing that my grade was going to be bad, tormented, and not wanting to go to school, and then ditching, and then hanging out with people. And next thing you know, I'm smoking weed. And I'm not going to say one thing led to another, but sort of one thing led to another. And so today we're, you know, and I know exactly what Sam's doing. I mean, I told him, listen, I procrastinate too. I'll put things off, and then I carry that shit around, right? I carry that rock. And I was trying to explain to him, I'm like, I when it comes to my kids, I pretty much give it to them, you know, I'm not sugarcoating anything. You need to fucking find your teacher. You need to get this shit taken care of, and you need to handle your business. You know, this is whether it's sixth grade or you're 38, you're in a small business, or you're working for somebody, same shit. You need to handle your business. There's none of this, you'll do better. But it is amazing that they get these opportunities, and Sam's like, you know, I'll take care of it, and I believe he will, right? I'm not calling. I'm not going to follow up. I believe he will take care of it. And, but I was trying to explain, I said, Sam, you know, until you take care of this, you're just dragging it around. It's just anxiety. And, you know, my son, Sam, he already stresses out with anxiety. He already worries about too much shit. I'm like, you already have enough, you know, to worry about. And, so you don't need to add more stuff. This is how this works. Take care of your business. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. And so, but listen, I was able to come to him. I got an email yesterday from his teacher. I was able to come to him after when I got home from work. I said, listen, I got an email from your teacher. She told me everything. Take care of your business. All right. You know, I'm not going to sit here and have an hour conversation about this. Take care of it. So we will see how it goes. But, you know, wow, these teachers today, they really want these kids to do well. And I don't know. Is that what they want? I don't even know. It's the way the world is changing. But that's, you know, that's why we live 75, 60, 75, 80 years. Is because, you know, we don't want to get in the way of progress. We don't want to stop the wheels from turning. So, but yeah. The other thing I was thinking about, which is interesting, you know, I was watching, I'm a big fan of the Pat McAfee show. And he is on YouTube. The Pat McAfee show, and Pat McAfee was a punter for the Indianapolis Colts during the like Peyton Manning years, so a while back. And then he's worked hard, man. He works hard at his craft. He's got the Toxic Table, his crew, you know, that help him put out this sports show, and they're just talking sports, right? It's just a sports show. But my God, it's so good, and the energy is so good, and I just love Pat McAfee. And, but yesterday they had Stephen A. Smith, who's a guy that he's kind of like the face of ESPN. And Stephen A. Smith, you know, and I posted this on my Facebook page. I took a video of it off the TV because I just thought it was so great. But what he said was, is that, here, I can play it for you. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play this. All right. And let's see here.
I would tell you this. I want to take a moment to give you props for that, because you know what? As a former NFL player, you come onto the scene and you come into this business. You know, it wasn't me, but there's a lot of people that's jealous of Pat McAfee. There's a lot of people that wish they were Pat McAfee, and they wish that they were in your position. And you know what? They pay attention to the opportunities that you get, but not the work that you put in.
Yeah, they pay attention to the opportunities that you get, but not the work that you put into it. You know, this is like that Mr. Jones story. And, You know, what I love about this is coming from a guy, Stephen A. Smith, who is big up in like ESPN, First Take. You know, it's all, if you don't like sports, then you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But if you're a sports person, you know, Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp, Stephen A. Smith, they're just these guys that talk sports. And I personally love shows like that more than I like sports sometimes. But to have Stephen A. Smith come out and tell Pat McAfee that, you know, you're just an amazing guy and you're working hard and everybody just pays attention to what you're getting but not the work you put in. And what I really love is he starts to talk about how we have to bet on ourselves, right? We have to invest into ourselves to become better people. And I've always believed that, you know, it's not. And then also trying to figure out what it is that it is that you want, right? You know, if it's about money, it's always going to be a struggle. But if it's about being part of something or achieving a goal or a dream, and you can do that by hard work, it's amazing. And it all comes from betting on ourselves. When I got sober, I've been betting on myself, right? Because I'd gotten myself so far down in a hole that I had nobody else to bet on. It was either me or nothing. And I had to figure out how to get out of it. But I just want to play the rest. This is like,
get it. And they didn't pay attention to the sacrifices that you make. And more importantly than anything else, the bravery that you had to bet on you. And that's one of the things that, to me, as a guy who's getting to know you better and better every day, what I love about you is that you're a guy that takes chances on you. You believe in you. And you'd be surprised how many of us, including the person you're listening to right now, lack the courage to do that over many years. I was scared to go out on my own. I was raised by West Indian parents, and my mother, God rest her soul, was about putting in the work, punching that clock, going to work every day, getting the job done, going home, saving your money, invest what you can, and have a pension or something along those lines. Pat McAfee in this world was like, wait a minute, there's got to be more to life than that. And you go for it, and suddenly people are looking at you and the resentment kicks in because they're looking at the opportunity that you're getting, but they're not appreciating the work that you put in and the courage you had to exude and display in order to take that chance on yourself. And people like you are what helped me say, F this, I'm going to bet on me. I believe in me.
Well, obviously, that was incredibly kind and nice of you, and I'm incredibly uncomfortable right now, but that was fucking very...
That's so good, man. It's so fucking good because that's it, right? Why are we get sober? Why did I get sober? I didn't even know why I got sober. I got to that point in my life where it was either get sober or just continue this fucking grind. Did I get sober to be successful? I don't know. Did I get sober to meet better women? I don't know. What did I got sober for? I don't know. All I know is that it came to that point in my life at that hospital, and I had an opportunity, like Anthony Kiedis said, the window open, I fucking jumped through, and I just was ready for the adventure. You know, you get that opportunity, and you kind of, you walk in, and you have reservations, but at some point, you just have to basically put all your chips in and say, I'm ready for a better life. I'm ready to bet on myself. And I love that about Pat McAfee, because he's a fucking hardworking guy, and he is killing it. And I don't mean like Lamborghinis and hookers. I'm talking about, you know, just bringing an amazing sports show. He's got the right amount of people. We've got the right people involved in it. And it's just amazing. And, you know, Stephen A. Smith, who's been on First Take, has been under the thumb of an ESPN, which according to him has been amazing. But at this point, he's ready to try something else. And he's inspired by Pat McAfee. I was inspired by Joe Rogan, right? You know, I love Joe Rogan's podcast. I watched it last night. He has David Porto, the guy from Barstool Sports. Fucking great interview. I love Joe Rogan. And I remember, I go, I want to do that. But there was a big voice that said, you can't do that. You're never, ever going to be able to do it. You're never going to be good at it. Don't even bother. You know, I'm one of those guys. I want the glory, glory, glory before the work, work, work. And the voice is like, you won't get the glory, glory, glory. It's going to be too much work, work, work. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm fucking putting all my chips in. I want to try this. And it isn't for the money. I don't make any money doing this. I have a hair salon that I make money in. I make no money doing podcasting, but I love it. I love to be able to come to the microphone and just chat and talk about shit and, you know, recovery, and it doesn't have to be perfect. And if you don't like it, don't listen. If you do like it, I appreciate it and whatever. You got to try things, right? And I just love that thing he said last night. And, you know, the big thing is bet on yourself. My buddy Matt, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should be all right. As long as you're not paying for crack and paying for hookers, you should be able to bet on yourself. And I think that was one of the things as when I was in my addiction and struggling, is there was no ability to bet on myself because I knew, like, I had inside information. This guy's going to fuck up, right? This horse ain't going to make it. This dog ain't going to make it. This team ain't going to win this one. He's got a problem. He's an addict. Right, I could come up and talk to somebody for the first time and maybe put on a good face or a good shirt and fake it out and maybe talk some bullshit to get myself into a situation where I could have an opportunity. But in the back of my mind, always knowing that I was going to fail. And this relationship that I was starting at this moment would break up. Because I was always at some point going to drink or drug and fuck it up. When I put down that alcohol and put down the drugs, I had better inside information. I had insider trading. This guy is sober. He's going to show up. You know, I said in a podcast a couple weeks ago, I'm like, you know, as soon, you know, my buddy Matt used to say, as soon as you fucking take a drink, all bets are off, right? Everything that I think about you changes. Everything that people think about you changes. Every, you know, concern that people have for you when you start drinking, they come back, right? It's the whole game changes. But as long as you're not picking up and drinking, I mean, today I know I'll show up. You know, every client today that I have in the hair business knows that I'll be there. You know, I don't have the days of my drinking where, you know, clients can sit and go, I remember those days when I used to come to the salon, you weren't even here, right? Or your car was here, you'd be sleeping in it. Or you were sleeping in the back or something. I don't have those stories. I don't have those stories for my kids, right? Everybody knows me as a person that's going to show up. As a guy that bets on himself. You know, I've shared about, you know, Preston Shell, who gave me an opportunity to lease this building. He bet on me. You know, Rhonda Myers over at Community Bank, she bet on me. Now, these are all business people, and they've, you know, they balance it out, and they were going to make some money, which is fine. But they had to take a chance. You know, my buddy Drexel owns Bad Hair Day. He bet on me. You know, bet on yourself. It's awesome. It's awesome when you can, right? Listen, yeah, I could, you know, bet on yourself. You know, but you know secretly, like, you're still doing whatever it is you're doing. You know that eventually it's going to come up and the shit's going to hit the fan. But you'll bet on yourself anyway. But I love, you know, when you know that you're living a decent life and you're doing the right thing. Not even trying, right? What is that? It's like a cop out. I'm trying. When you're doing the right thing, it's time to bet on yourself. You know? I was that way. I was that guy that thought, oh, you just go to work and you punch a clock and you work hard. And I think that's been the big transition, I think, from pre-pandemic to post-pandemic, is that, you know, pre-pandemic, we were that way. Show up, work hard for somebody else's business, right? Go get, work overtime, make as much money as you can. And after the pandemic and after this realization that we are people that are willing to or should be betting on ourselves, a lot of people were like, I don't want to do what I was doing before. I don't care about working for a corporation or working for a big business or white collar or whatever it is. I want to bet on myself. And that's what I did. You know, I opened my own hair salon, doing podcasting. You know, I'm not killing it, but goddamn it, I get to come here and do it. I bet on myself and I love it. I want to read. So I'm going to, So check, I mean, nobody probably even knows my Facebook, but, that Stephen A. clip was awesome. And I think it was really cool. So I'm going to read this as Bill sees it. I don't know how to do this. I guess I'll just, well, let's read the intro here. Let's see what this says. It says, this is the foreword. Dear friends, this volume includes several hundred excerpts from our literature touching every aspect of AA's way of life. It is felt that this material may become an aid to individual meditation and stimulant to group discussion, and may well lead to a still wider reading of all our literature. Over the past 25 years, it has been my privilege to write these books about AA. The 12 and 12 Alcoholics Anonymous, Comes of Age, the 12 Concepts of World Service, the last part of our third legacy manual. Many pieces have been written for our monthly magazines. The AA Grapevine and I have always carried on a large personal correspondence. There are the chief sources from which the content was chosen for this volume. Because the quotations used were lifted out of their original context, it has been necessary, in the interest of clarity, to edit and sometimes rewrite a number of them. Of course, all this material reflects my personal viewpoints on AA's way of life. As such, it is bound to have its limitations and imperfections. Nevertheless, one may hope that this new publication will meet a genuine need. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill W. I'm gonna read the first page and I'll put a bookmark and then just work our way through this book. Unless it becomes weird, then I'm not. All right, page one. Personality change. It has often been said of AA that we are interested only in alcoholism. This is not true. We have to get over drinking in order to stay alive. But anyone who knows the alcoholic personality by firsthand contact knows that no true alkie ever stops drinking permanently without undergoing a profound personality change. We thought conditions drove us to drink. And when we tried to correct these conditions and found that we couldn't do so to our entire satisfaction, our drinking went out of hand and we became alcoholics. It never occurred to us that we needed to change ourselves to meet conditions, whatever they were. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty obvious. I mean, I don't know if that's obvious in the beginning, but I can tell you it's definitely obvious now. And so I'm going to put a bookmark right there. That was number one. Ta-da. Shut that down. I mean, I think immediately, for me at least, as soon as I stopped drinking, my personality changed a little bit. You know, and if it was even just the fact of, just like I said, you know, I always had this, you know, doom and gloom over me. You know, like my mom used to say, September's always hard for you, Tommy. I don't know why, because it was always something was coming down the tracks, right? It was either whether it's the DUI I got or hitting my uncle's well or fighting or stitches or whatever it was, something was coming, right? Something out of my control. You know, I can get up today and for the most part, I control everything that goes on in my life. Obviously, there are people out on the road doing other things that I cannot control, but I can, you know, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know where to go. I know where not to go. I know when to go and when not to go. So the point is that I'm controlling my world. But back in those days, I knew some shit was going to go down. And in that turn, I think it creates, you know, a different kind of person. And so when I finally got sober, just the freedom, right, of knowing, and I don't think I realized it in the beginning, but over time I started realizing, hey, you know, there's a good chance that you're not going to get a DUI, right? There's a good chance you're not going to get more stitches in a bar. And then all of a sudden, it really starts to create some peace in my life. And I think I felt like there was hope. You know, my personality, the person that I was before I got sober, was a personality of hopelessness, despair, a continuous grind for the rest of my life, doing everything that I don't want to do, right? Working a job I hate, hanging out with people I don't like, drinking like I don't like drinking, hanging out in bars where I don't want to hang out, fighting with people I don't want to fight with. That was the way my life looked. And a few days without the drink, and my personality and my persona and my spirit started to lift and change and say, hey, you know. And of course, in early on, I'm like, I am never drinking again, right? That's what I hoped. I did. But, you know, and people say, oh, don't say that. You never know, man. All you got is today. And I'd be like, listen, I love sobriety. I'm never drinking again. And I did. And I was hoping I wouldn't. And I did drink. So I never say that again. I never say I'll never drink again. The fact is, we just have today. But, man, what a great thing to have, right? What a great day to have is today. And gives me hope. And I love it. Yeah, man, bet on yourself. Get sober. Find sobriety. Find the program, whatever it is that gets you sober, and find serenity. And bet on yourself. And, you know, take advantage of this awesome life that we've been given. You know, I forget what the term they use. I forget the word. But basically, live your life at the best part of your life, right? This is our best time, right? You know, this is where, you know, my health is the best. My strength is the best. My financial status is the best. You know, my family and my, you know, my sobriety is at its best. This is where I live it, right? This is where I put my chips in. You know, I don't want to be major. I mean, I want to be healthy for my older age, but this is it. This is my time. And thank God I'm sober and get to, you know, live the best life that I can. All right, well, listen, I'm not going to read. I'm going to read Daily Reflections. This is, okay, I'm getting confused, but we'll work through it here. Daily Reflections. Daily Reflections. Here we go. The victory of surrender. Oh, this is good. We perceive that only through utter defeat are we able to take our first steps towards liberation and strength. Our admissions of personal powerlessness finally turn out to be firm bedrock upon which happy and purposeful lives may be built. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 21. When alcohol influenced every facet of my life, when bottles became the symbol of all my self-indulgence and permissiveness, when I came to realize that by myself I could do nothing to overcome the power of alcohol, I realized I had no recourse except surrender. In surrender, I found victory. Victory over my selfish self-indulgence. Victory over my stubborn resistance to life as it was given to me. And when I stopped fighting anybody or anything, I started on the path to sobriety and serenity and peace. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I went to a meeting the other day and, you know, it's all surrender. It's all accountability, you know. We admitted. The second word in this program is admitted, which is just another way of saying surrender. You know, we got caught, we admitted, we give up, we surrender. Yeah, it's all about surrender. I tell people all the time, if you want to try to live the life that you lived when you were drinking and try to have that same life but not drinking, they don't mix. You know, when you get sober, you can't bitch about everything. You have to surrender and give up on expressing your words about some shit situation that's really none of our business, right? That's, you can't be a pain in the ass and be sober. I mean, I guess you can, but like it says there at the end, I started on the path to sobriety, serenity, and peace. Very, very different. Anyway, it sounds good, man. Well, listen, thank you for letting me share, and I hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Take away this ball and chain.